sorrow no
Love Talk Radio.
I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Well, happy Monday, everyone. Today is the special day when you get two for one. Today is the day when I broadcast simultaneously with my co-host, Mr. James Nemley. And today, our special guest will be Chief Brilliantaire from the Brilliantaire Institute, Mr. Simon T. Bailey. And we should be joining them momentarily. And they are on the line, and we are going to go right over to them right now. So grab your pens and papers, because there are going to be lots of notes for you to take. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing criminally well. It shouldn't be legal to do as well as I'm doing right now.
Wonderful.
So Daphne, I'm hearing a little bit of breaking up, and I hope that this passes. So am I, and our guest is here, and I'm leaving it up to you to introduce him to the audience.
Well, hello, Mr. Bailey. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Hudson. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time out to be with us, my guests. I hope they are as super excited as I am. I know we are just so fortunate to have you blessing us as the Chief Brilliantaire from the Brilliantaire Institute. And I have been part of your community for a long time, and it is such an honor that you see it fitting to be part of the Vision Weekend Conference to help us understand about the importance of releasing our brilliance. And I want to take some time to just read a portion of your bio. And then I will allow you to tell the listeners what else you want to tell them. For Simon T. Bailey, there is no such thing as ordinary. Like Thomas Jefferson, the author, believes we are all endowed with certain unalienable rights. But to the notion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, Simon adds that it is the responsibility of each of us to unlock the true brilliance buried deep within us. Simon's convictions were forged as the son of an immigrant father from Jamaica and further cultivated by a career in the traveling and tourism, an industry that aggressively promotes natural and cultural brilliance found in destinations around the world. Experience gleaned in leadership roles with influential organizations like the Walt Disney Company helped him foster an in-depth understanding and formidable challenges, pressures, and risk that business face on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, I need not read any more. I would love to introduce to you one of my mentor from a distance and the Chief Brilliantaire from the Brilliantaire Institute, Mr. Simon T. Bailey.
Thank you so much for that introduction. It's a pleasure to be with you, and hello to everyone. I am certainly looking forward to Vision Weekend. I think it will be an opportunity to experience a phenomenal shift from the inside out. I know it will be a weekend of awakening the vision that you have within you. And most importantly, I believe you will walk out of the door with some tips, tools, and techniques that are actionable. And as you begin to implement them, I believe that you will experience phenomenal results. Let me take this time to say that your time during the Vision Weekend is a time to invest in yourself and to realize that a job is what you are paid to do, but release your brilliance is what you're made to do. Brilliance, as I define it, it is your insight, it is your potential, it is your genius, it is the it factor, the God it factor in you. And when you operate in your brilliance, you no longer compare yourself to everyone else around you, because when you realize that you are truly unique, you begin to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. There's a sad reality that's happening right now in our world that most people are born originals, but they die copies. And the reason they die copies is because they never tap into their brilliant potential. So the presupposition that I am putting forth is that you are brilliant. But many times people say you have to believe and you behave. But when I decree that you are brilliant, I'm inviting you to behave and then allow your belief to catch up to your behavior. Because if you begin to act as if William James, who lived from 1842 to 1910, Harvard professor of anatomy, philosophy, and psychology, taught the as-if principle. He was the contemporary of the Horatio Alger Jr. as well as Mark Twain. And his cousin was Ralph Waldo Emerson, or should I say his godfather was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And when he taught the as-if principle, the whole concept was to act as if you were already moving in the direction of your heart's desire, and eventually your belief and your entire body would catch up with you. Well, when we look at where we are right now, where everything that's happening in the world, you have a choice to make. Either you take control of the steering wheel of your life and drive into your future, or you will continue to be driven by everything and everyone. So when you step into your brilliance, you really, really begin to recognize that brilliance is a process, not just a one-time event. Brilliance is a marathon, not a sprint.
Wow.
Wow, that's really powerful. You know, you speak about the new normal. You know, what is the new normal?
Yeah, so you've often heard people say, do more with less. There's not enough hours in the day. You're working harder to make less money. Well, that's just the new normal. That's just the way it is. The days, the way it used to be, those days are gone. So what you have to begin to do is, in the new normal, how do I begin to adjust my mindset to adapt to the time we're in? And either I can choose to be a cheetah or I can be a hippo. A cheetah is one of the swiftest hunters in Africa. A cheetah can reach up to 70 miles per hour in just a few strides. So when you study a cheetah, one of the interesting things about a cheetah is that it has a flexible spine. It can turn on a dime. A hippo, on the other hand, is lazy, ornery, set in its ways. This is the way we've always done it. I was teaching this not too long ago to a group, and they said, somebody says, what happens when you put a cheetah with a hippo? They say, you get a cheapo.
Wow.
The reality is that we have to find a way to unlock the cheetah and the hippo in us, because obviously we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and forget all of the things that have brought us to this point. There are some foundational principles that are tried and true that have been used for thousands of years, but obviously we want to be relevant and adapt to the times that we're in. And in the new normal, we must be able to, as Dr. Howard Gardner, professor of education at Harvard, teaches the five mindsets of the future. And one of them he teaches is this whole ability to synthesize. So how do I begin to discern and synthesize and read the tea leaves of the time and understand how to be relevant instead of obsolete.
That's really powerful. You know, one of the things I'd like folks to do is to tap into your book, Release Your Brilliance. And before I ask you some questions about the book, I just want to read this to folks so that they understand the power of this particular book. Release Your Brilliance is the inspirational best-selling book by Simon T. Bailey. First published in 2003, Release Your Brilliance was voted number 17 of the top 100 books being read by corporate America and has been translated into Spanish and Portuguese. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful book. Can you talk about your book, Release Your Brilliance?
Yeah, the whole Release Your Brilliance really grew out of an experience that I had with my mentor. He said to me one day, he asked me how I was doing. I said, well, if I had light skin, blonde hair, blue eyes, it would be very easy for me to succeed in America. And that was just some of the residue that was still stuck to the hard drive of my soul. And he said, you weren't born to fit in, you were born to be brilliant. And I said, how can you say that? You know, you're a white man. And he says, well, I might be white, but my wife and I adopted two young African-American boys when they were babies. And we've been telling them since the time we brought them home what they could be instead of what they couldn't be. He said, Simon, you're stuck in your mind and body thinking the pigmentation of your skin is what is limiting you. And it's not that what's limiting you. It's what's been saved to the hard drive. A virus has been attached to your operating system that has caused you to slow down, and you're not operating at the optimum level. You weren't born to fit in. You were born to be brilliant. And when he said that, literally it took me 7 years to really process that because no one had ever told me that I was born to be brilliant. So having new software enter into a system that was already running slow, it took a while for the virus to work itself out and for the new software to begin to take root. And when I began to believe the new software that I was born to be brilliant, I began to act as if I was brilliant. And then I said, wait a minute, everyone has brilliance in them. But sometimes your brilliance is buried by those around you who don't recognize or understand your brilliance. So when I don't understand who you are, I try to keep you where I'm at because that's where I am. Because I can never take you to a place that I haven't been myself. So when I see you trying to move to another level or another dimension, I don't have the language to articulate to support you, so I can only speak to where I am. So what happens is you have many people that are listening to us right now who have a 50 by 60 dream, but they're associating with people that have 8 by 10 thinking. And what happens is you never step into that new dimension to release your brilliance as long as you are confined to a limitation that has been limited by language, limited by its zip code, limited by its environment, limited by its lack of exposure. Until a diamond is exposed to other information, it never has the ability to brilliantly shine. So when I really began to write Release Your Brilliance, I was writing it out of a very deep place as a young African-American male who was dropped off at Morehouse College so many years ago and became a college dropout because I did not see a way to go back to school. Now, I eventually did go back to school, got an undergrad, got a master's degree, but I was on the 10-year plan. And what I realized during that time is that a setback, as my dear friend Willie Jolly often says, a setback is a setup for a comeback.
That's what happened.
In the middle of the setback, I have to begin to identify that failure is not final. Failure is only feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And feedback allows me to realize that though I might be brilliant, if I want to get to success, I must pass through the valley of failure. Because in the dictionary, failure precedes success. So if I understand how to fail forward, and everything that I went through literally has positioned me to experience a brilliant breakthrough.
Oh, that's so well said. You know, I've often spoken to many of my business owners who, when they finally get to me, sometimes they're really broken up and they need some work to get to where they need to go. But one of the things I tell them that, yeah, failure isn't, you know, what people typically define it. You fail forward when you take that failing, figure out what it is you did wrong, fix that, and then continue going. You're going to fail as you go forward. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And people that fear failure are the ones that don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go anywhere at all.
Absolutely.
You know, how can folks get your book?
Yes, sure. They can go to Amazon.com. They can download it from there if they have an iPad or any of the iTablets. They can buy a hard copy, obviously, at Amazon or even BarnesandNoble.com. And I'm happy to say we just came out within the last week with the audio version of Release Your Brilliance. So if they have iTunes, they can download it in iTunes as well as Audible.com. And I believe the audio version is probably my most impactful version because you actually allow me to download into your hard drive the whole concept of brilliance. And as I really share the book with you, and I share a lot of other things that were not written in the book just because I was in a moment and I wanted to make sure people got it.
Simon,
yes,
would you please tell our listening community about the Brilliance Institute, the Brilliance community that you have established there, because there's a wealth of knowledge that's going on in there. And as well,
sure,
you have online learning coming up on the 23rd, which,
yes,
I think you probably still have room for. Before we,
yes,
get into more conversation around the Vision Weekend Conference, would you please tell the listeners about those things?
Yeah, well, I formed the Brilliance Institute a number of years ago as an outgrow of my main business of speaking and writing and traveling. I had a lot of corporations that would reach out to me and ask me to come in with my team of consultants to help them in specific areas, but I quickly saw a need to begin to offer substantive content that people could use and implement in their lives to get a result. So we formed the Brilliance Institute to do just that. So with many of our books, we have workshops and different things that we offer. Last year, we hosted a Release Your Brilliance Weekend. This year, we will do another Release Your Brilliance Weekend that we'll be announcing in the next few months. And then from that grew the Brilliant Club. The Brilliant Club was really, if you take the best of what Facebook does, you take the best of what Twitter does and combine that into your own community, that's what we decided to do with the Brilliant Club. Membership is free. And you can join the members of the Brilliant Club by visiting SimonTBailey.com and just click on the Brilliant Club. You can fill out the profile and upload your information, and then you will get specific information directly from me that really becomes an inspirational latte shot to give you the inspiration to go on, but also give you some actionable things that you can do on a weekly basis. We also divide that between videos as well, so it's both written and in videos, and you get to connect to a community of other brilliantaires just like you who are not chasing money, but are discovering that they can have money chase them. And so we're really excited about that. And then on the 23rd, just in a couple of days, we will be hosting a live webinar, a live video webinar, which I'm really excited about because with technology advancing so fast, we've got people from all over the world that are going to join us at learnitlive.com. And if you go to learnitlive.com and just put in Simon T. Bailey, my name will come up. And I've got a brand new book that's being released within the next 30 days. In fact, by the time I see you for Vision Weekend, our new book will be out. But it's called The Blue Shot Day Moment, Shift from Average to Brilliant. It's probably one of the most powerful teachings that I've ever put together. It is from all the feedback that we're getting right now, it is as good, if not better, than Release Your Brilliance. And we've got people over in Africa, people in London, people in Australia that have asked me to come and begin to teach the Rouge Day Moment. So we will be doing that on Thursday in the learnitlive.com live webinar. It's going to be a phenomenal teaching from 12 to 1. It's going to be a virtual lunch where we're going to chew and chat, and I'm going to upload into your hard drive this whole concept of how do you experience the Vujade moment.
Wow. I tell you, Jim, you need to excuse me, Jim. I forgot I didn't officially introduce you to Simon. So I'm so sorry.
No, we've introduced and chatted before coming live online with you.
Okay, wonderful. All right. So then you still love me. I don't have to worry about that. Simon,
in
your many years of working with an extremely diverse community, what gender do you think is still lacking behind in embracing and releasing their brilliance? Is it the male or the female?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm a bit of a little biased here, if I can. And since you're outnumbered tonight, Daphne, you have to excuse us. But I think there's been obviously a lot of focus on women within the last 10 years, and rightly so. But where I really feel there needs to be a shift very quickly, and I think there are several voices that are crying in the wilderness who really recognize that the male gender has got to release their brilliance, especially now in this critical hour in our country, in our world, and certainly in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is my hope that every man that is listening to us right now will take it upon himself to invest and come to Vision Weekend, get together with some of his guys, and because one of the things I've discovered, I just wrote an article for a magazine over in South Africa, and the article is entitled, Daddy, I Need to Hear Your Voice. And I was in Buffalo, New York, where I grew up with my father just a few weeks ago. He had to have surgery, and he's out of the hospital, and he's home, he's doing better. But my father had never really talked to me when I was at home. And while we were sitting there in the hospital for 3 hours straight, my father talked to me. It's like someone turned on the faucet within him, and he gave me an oral history of the last 100 years of our family. And my father talked to me, and I emphasize that point. He shared with me how he was an immigrant from Jamaica at 19 years of age during the Eisenhower administration. There was a program where migrant workers could come over from different Caribbean countries. And he came over and began to pick oranges in Mount Dore, Florida, which is just about an hour away from where I live in Orlando, back in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he from there and migrated up to Perry, New York, and began to pick apples. And a few years later, he met up my mother, and they've been married for 46 years. But my whole point is, for all the time that I have been on Earth, my father never really talked to me.
Right.
He was not emotionally available to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really realize is that sometimes you can look for love in all the wrong faces, looking for love in all the wrong places, and all I needed was my dad to affirm me, to validate me, tell me what matters.
Yes.
And so as he began to change, he broke down a couple of times, and my father's a man's man, 70 years of age, but he really began to pour out his heart and really began to share from a place that I had never seen before.
That's right.
And it began to open up something in me, and we were driving home. My brother was in the driver's seat. My mother was in the front of the car, and I was in the back seat with my dad heading home from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't remember a time growing up if my father ever took me for a walk and held my hand. So while we were sitting there in the back seat, I just grabbed my father's hand,
yes,
and I held my dad's hand as we drove home and got out of the car. And,
yes,
and I know this might not mean anything to anyone, but for a person who has been looking for validation all of his,
yes,
life and has struggled at some level with self-esteem and,
yes,
and personal confidence, and has found a way over the years to begin to mask that, for those who are listening to us right now who are not from the African-American ethnicity,
mm-hmm,
we as black folk, we don't go to see shrinks. We just kind of deal,
that's
with
right,
our stuff. We don't,
that's
go
right,
to,
that's
the
right,
colleges. We don't sit,
that's
on the
right,
couch. We don't have a Dr. Phil moment. We,
yeah,
just kind of keep everything within. We don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I've gotten, the more I've traveled, the more I've realized I probably have needed to go and talk to someone about,
mm-hmm,
this. However, a healing has come about, but it took 25 years for the healing to take place. to bring me to a point that now that I have a son, I can be emotionally available to him. And I said all a lot to really answer your question, and here's the point. Men need to talk.
Exactly.
And men need an avenue
to
cross
where
they are.
That's right. And Simon, as a woman who is a Jamaican, and I want you to know we family, right? It took a lot for your papa to open his mouth and talk. Because Jamaican men come with pride, ego, and a lot of things is all tied up in there. And they think if they talk about the way things were, is as if it's going to bring shame on the family. Right now, and I think it's not only the Jamaican men, because I had an interview maybe about 5 years ago on a show, and I mentioned about my early upbringing in Jamaica. I lost my mother at age 13, and I spoke about the journey. And right now, one of my aunts, who is 76 years old, she took offense to that interview and refused to speak to me right now. So it's a baggage that our Jamaican culture and ethnicity struggles with. You know, you don't tell what happened in your family. You leave it there. But if we don't tell, others will never be healed. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing what you just shared. And I didn't know why the Spirit wanted me to ask that question. But Spirit is always on time and know what needs. There's somebody out there that needed to hear this.
No, there's no doubt about it. And men do have a hard time expressing themselves. You know, there was a book written, I forgot the gentleman's name, I could see his face, but I'm sure everybody's going to recognize it, how men are headliners and women are the fine print. You know, we speak in headlines, you know, so, you know, how was your day? Good. You know, when I say to my wife, how was your day? Well, we start at the moment that I left the house to go to the office, and we go through breakfast, and then we go through lunch, and every phone call that she's had during the course of the day, and how the weather treated her today, and whether it was a good or a bad hair day, and on and on and on. And then finally I find out how her day is, like maybe 25, 30 minutes later. I don't have that many words in me.
You would be surprised
to know. I absolutely understand what Simon says as it relates to that. And I, too, had a situation with my father. It wasn't until I married, as a matter of fact, my wife and I, at that time, you know, we lived in an apartment, a little, small apartment complex on the second floor. And the apartment complex was built in a horseshoe. And we had gotten married in November, and come December, there was a snowstorm. And obviously, you know, here I am in an apartment now. I don't have a snow shovel. And my father, whom I hardly ever spoke with, I'm the oldest son, well, he was working the overnight shift, 12 to 8 in the morning. Well, I had gotten up that morning, and I looked, and I saw him put the shovel in his trunk and then pull his car out of the parking lot and pull off. He had stopped by my apartment knowing that I didn't have a shovel and shoveled us out. And I was stunned by that. But it wasn't until I got married that my father and I ever really had a conversation. I couldn't understand what had happened, but that created a relationship between us. And that was the first act I can recall of, you know, father-son bonding. You know, I was up in my apartment, warm and cozy. He was just coming off the 8-hour shift, and he just got finished digging me out of the snow, but he acknowledged the fact that I existed. It was unusual.
Sure.
So I understand how that must have impacted you, because I know it had a major impact on me.
Oh, totally. And, you know, what's even more important, you know, do we learn by what people say or do we learn by what people do? And there are so many things that men pick up from other men, or the lack of having a man. You know, the whole concept of memes. You know, a meme travels faster than a person who has the flu. I mean, a meme can move from, you know, when a person texts you and puts LOL, laugh out loud, you know, then the next time you text somebody, you say LOL, and it just passes on. But there are many memes that we as men have picked up that have not best served us, and we need a way to process those memes out of our life.
Absolutely. Those are the things that form us, so I understand that quite clearly. Those are the things that form us. And one of the things, and you're talking about picking things up, I made certain that with my children, that lack of conversation and contact with dad never happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, as a matter of fact, I think they want to tell me, stop bugging us, Dad. Let us breathe a little bit. You're only going home.
Simon, what can you tell the people? What, in addition, would you tell, especially the men? Because the men they're looking at the conference and they think, oh man, that thing it's so touchy feely. And I'm so glad I didn't even ask you this question before when you mentioned what you mentioned about the men. But how would you please break it down for our listeners and the reasons why they ought to be there? You know, why do they need to invest in themselves?
Well, first of all, I think that every man that is even contemplating or thinking about coming to the event, if he works a job, he must realize that his job is in jeopardy. And when I say in jeopardy, no matter how many years he may have working in a place of business, that place of business is not a place of security, and he must quickly shift and learn how to become the CEO of Me Incorporated. If he does not, what will happen is that job will be shifted overseas, that job will be outsourced, or it will diminish and go away altogether. Every industry that can be disrupted is being disrupted. So at Vision Weekend, you're going to learn how to shift your thinking. And if you work a job, become an entrepreneur. If you are already an entrepreneur in business for yourself or even heading that direction, you will be equipped with tips, tools, and techniques on how to not just survive, how to thrive in this economy. Because right now there is more opportunity that's available than you can ever imagine. But one of the most important attributes that you must have and skill sets that you must develop is creativity and innovation. Innovation, as I define it, is the intersection of insight and information. You can Google anything just about nowadays, and that is information. But your insight in that information is what gives you a point of differentiation in the marketplace and allows you to capitalize and to now charge for the services that you bring to the earth and the solution that you provide. Here's the other thing that you'll get from Vision Weekend for all the men that are listening to us, and certainly ladies. In the future, you will be paid for the problems you solve and the solutions you find, mm-hmm. not just the product or service you offer. If you mm-hmm. only offer a product or service, you will compete on price because you will be seen as a commodity. But if you offer a product or solution, it doesn't matter what the price is, people will pay to have it. When people are in pain, people don't care how much they have to pay as long as the pain is resolved. Mm-hmm. So I believe at Vision Weekend you will really discover how to provide the solution, how to solve the problem, and really differentiate yourself in the marketplace. And I think the third type of opportunity that's available, those who have a job, those who are entrepreneurs, are just those who are in transition, who say, you know what, I've worked a job, I've retired, or thinking about, you know, doing some other things. I believe you will be equipped with specific how-to strategies that you can implement for your life on how to take the next easiest step. You've often heard the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. That's true, but someone had to take a step to build Rome. So I believe when you come to Vision Weekend, you're going to be equipped with how do you just put one foot in front of the other, and then how do you put one foot in front of the other the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And all of a sudden, you will discover that hours become days, days become weeks, weeks become months, and months become years.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And, you know, what I like about that is the community that we have in place. And we have some systems that we are going to be implementing to hold people by the hand to make sure that they manifest what they were thought there to manifest. It's not just going to be another hula hyped up. This is serious business. If you look on the platform that we have, it's not a platform of game players. It's a platform that has been transforming many lives over the world. I have one more question, and then, Jinma, I'm going to close my mouth. Simon, what do you attribute the lack of participation and interest in releasing your brilliance, becoming transformed in the Christian community? I am sure that you probably are seeing the same thing I'm seeing. I've watched some of your things on YouTube and everything like that. And I don't know, my Christian brothers and sisters, they are so cemented in the negative things. Could you attribute that to?
Well, what's interesting, when you look back over church history within the last 100 years, there certainly has been a major shift that comes about every so often. So if you were to go back to the early 1900s, or should I say even if we were to start in the 1940s, 1948 to 1960, it was the explosion of what they would call the evangelistic movement, T.L. Osborne, Billy Graham, and Oral Roberts. Then from the evangelistic movement, you went into the early 70s, which became much of the faith movement, an explosion of the teaching of faith. And now, if you parallel that with what was going on in our everyday society, in the 1970s, you had the oil embargo crisis, and it was a very trying time for America. But it's also when the first microprocessor was introduced. Then as you move into the 80s and early 90s in the church, there was a movement away from the teaching gift to more of what they would call the prophetic movement. And then you went from the prophetic movement to the fathering movement. And I think what's happened in the church has been conditioned to wait for the next wave to come about. But what's interesting, by the time the church waits for the next wave to come about, it has been proven that it takes the church about 35 years to begin to shift and change. But meanwhile, you would have had 5 or 6 different presidents in office. You would have had probably 10 to 15 different technologies rolled out. And meanwhile, the church is still stuck on one point. And so what happens is, if Christians really want to grow, they must exist in a house where there is a leader who personally challenges them to grow and to develop. But that leader themselves, they are not resting on the laurels of what they have always done and what has gotten them to that point. They are constantly in a school of learning and have submitted themselves to an authority that begins to challenge their own thinking. Because I think what's interesting is many people, some people in some circles have checked their brains at the door, and they sit on their seat of their blessed assurance, and they walk out of the door, and they hear things, but the reality is, what can you implement on Monday morning? And if you are not receiving a fresh word that challenges you where you are, you will forever stay stuck. And like the children of Israel, you will continue to circle the promised land, never going in, because you did not take your thinking mind and activate and say, if I'm not getting fed, I don't need a word. I need to move. It's that simple.
Exactly.
But yeah. So anyway, personal opinion.
That's right.
I might get in trouble with the mini hate mail. I don't want to hear from you. It is what it is.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Well,
over back to you, Father.
Okay, I happen to be a minister, and what you're saying is dead on. There's a, and I don't know how we got into, well, I know how we got into, it was Daphne's fault. it's Daphne's fault.
My responsibility.
You know, yeah, you know, I think that when you take a look at what we ought to be, you know, as a Christian body, we have to look at how many people are or are not in our churches anymore. And then we have to take a look around and wonder, well, is it because everybody's found paradise, or is it that we've lost our relevance? When the church is no longer the capital of a community as it once was, then it means you've lost your relevance. And if you've lost your relevance, that means you're not progressing and doing the work you're supposed to be doing, which means that there needs to be a lot of introspection. I think that people need to, and I always challenge people to absorb the word, eat the word. Don't let me be the final, the first and only thing you hear. You need to get it for yourself on a daily basis. Study the Psalms, myself approved. I mean, the whole nine yards. You have to do that. And then you have to become the, and again, that word church, it's ecclesia. It's the called out ones.
Mm-hmm.
Every individual is the church and is accountable for the work that they do one-on-one with people out in the world. So, yeah, you're right. I think that everything is placed into an institution, and if the institution isn't growing at the rate of the community, then no work is being done. Now, that was my point of view.
A lot of people,
I read an article of yours that I found fascinating, and that's appetite for the spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I love that, you know, and the reason why I love that so much, and I love the work that you do, is you're totally right.
Where she was, And she said, I have an appetite for the spectacular, so everything in my world has to begin to realign, reassess, and reset itself based on this new dimension. Because where we are, we've outgrown this particular place. And if we do not develop an appetite for the spectacular, we will settle for the crumbs of the ordinary.
Wow. Why don't you
There's
please...
There's a lot of settling going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We want to announce, Simon, to once again give the viewers his information, the listeners, excuse me, his information again, please, Jim.
Yes, they can go to simontbailey.com if they want to sign up for the Billionaires Club. If they'd like to get any of our books or anything that we've written, certainly amazon.com. They can go to as well as barnesandnoble.com and get our books.
And if they buy the books before the conference and bring it there, you will autograph it too. So
yes, I'll be happy to. Absolutely.
Yes. So. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. I can't wait for the conference. You know, I got an email from India, from a gentleman who wants to come to the conference, and he's been following the conference for many months, and he wanted to apply for a scholarship to help him to pay his airfare to get here. And I tell him, we are not yet in that position, but I know years down the road, we are going to be able to offer scholarships. So there are people, and I was so excited to see that he was a man and really understand his need to be here at the conference. So it simply means that people are understanding what we have come together to do for them, not only for ourselves, because it's not really about us, but we understand that there needs to be a paradigm shift in the entrepreneurial arena.
Yes.
So we have approximately 13 minutes remaining. Jim, if you have nothing else, we can go ahead and ask Simon to, you know, just to summarize and give some high points. It's going to be difficult because all the points he gave were high ones. But if you want to just like streamline them down for the listeners.
Since when would I not have anything more for someone on the line such as a Simon T. Bailey? Are you kidding me?
I was just testing
you. What are you talking about?
Wow,
I was just
testing you, Jim.
She doesn't listen. Okay. Of course I do. I want to.
Yes, go ahead.
Did we lose him?
Jim? Jim, are you there? Simon,
right,
are you there?
Yep, Jim. I'm here.
Okay, he's there. He's there, Jim. Go for it. You said you have something else.
I can't hear him.
Okay, we probably lost him. So if you just please go ahead, Simon, and just summarize your thoughts for the listeners, please. I'm sure Jim will probably come back on.
So there are three questions that really are the foundation of everything that I teach. And part of why I start with questions because I believe in the Socratic method of learning. So from a personal or should I say a business standpoint, one of the questions that everybody that is holding a job must begin to ask themselves is, can my job be done cheaper and faster? If your job can be done cheaper and faster, you need to shift how your job is being done. Because if you don't shift, you'll be shifted. Number two, if you are in business for yourself, you must ask yourself, what is my point of differentiation in the marketplace? For example, I was talking with a colleague just a couple of hours ago who works in the leadership development space. And she began to share with me that there are a number of people who do leadership. Everybody's got a shingle hung out, leadership coaching, leadership mentoring, leadership development, leadership this, leadership that. And she said, how in the world can I insert myself into a crowded marketplace? And I said, well, first of all, it's not inserting yourself. It's finding your point of differentiation and creating such a powerful brand that the market will have to come to you. So I said, you need to approach it that way, not from I'm going to get into a crowded marketplace. Because if you go into the mindset thinking you're in a crowded marketplace, you will always see competition instead of connection. Mm-hmm. And what you really want to do is really understand that your greatest asset and greatest opportunity is to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And then the third question, for those of you who are really thinking about, I'm in a season of transition, either on the professional side or on the personal side, the question is, do you have a mentor that works with you on a regular basis? That mentor is not that wants to make you like them. They're not asking you to become them, to do it the way they have done it. But that mentor really becomes a sounding board or a mirror to reflect back to you the possibilities of what you could become, and then understand your uniqueness and invite you through the power of education. The word education comes from a word called educare. Educare means to draw out. So that mentor begins to draw out of you what's in you. But they can't draw out of you what's in you if you don't submit yourselves to be open to answering the questions and not to see it as an attack, but to see it as an opportunity to step into a new realm of possibility.
Folks, I'm so sorry. My phone dropped off for whatever reason. I'm back.
That's all right, Jim. You're back in time. We know you like us and you wouldn't hang up on us deliberately. So we have 8 minutes remaining, and I know you'll catch Simon three powerful questions to summarize in our conversation today. You can catch that on the archive, but you can go ahead. You say you did have something else to say. Please go ahead.
And it didn't get picked up from that point. Wow. Okay. So I was talking to on the fire. I was on there for about a minute asking. In corporate America today, Simon, I know you deal with a lot of major corporations, and it's one of the things I always tell small business owners is that you have to run your business the same way corporate America does, because the same accountabilities are in place. What's corporate America asking of you in this new economic time in terms of them getting their vision sharpened so that they can continue to grow their brands?
Number one, I just sat with the CEO not too long ago, and really his feedback to me is indicative of what I'm hearing from the C-level all the way down to middle management. Number one is corporate America wants their individuals to become the best research and development people every single day at what they do. In other words, they are looking for men and women to think. They want to find women, men and women who will not just show up and do a job but create a role. They are looking for men and women who will become the CEO of Me Incorporated and really begin to understand what's the next breakthrough opportunity that the organization should be thinking of. Instead of research and development and the next breakthrough coming from the top down, they're looking for it to come from the bottom up. That's number one. Number two, how do we really begin to reevaluate the customer experience? How do we really begin to see our customers as relationships, not transactions? How do we stop selling and stop and start connecting? In other words, connecting with customers at such a profound level that customers become the unofficial marketing department for the product or service that's being offered. So they are looking for men and women who are looking throughout the entire organization, saying, how do we connect with customers on a deeper level? And this goes beyond just offering the product or service. It's getting to what's the problems we're solving, what's the solutions we're finding, and then how do we begin to understand their business and what they're trying to accomplish, and then coming alongside them with the solution that we offer and look at how do we grow the wallet share in that business. The third thing is thinking about how do we ensure we have the very best talent. In most organizations, you have an A-level person, a B-level person, a C-level person. An A-level person is a self-starter, self-initiator, a person who can get it done, a person who is a high performer. The challenges that corporations have with that A-level person is how do we retain them? How do we keep that talent on board so that we can get the best out of them, okay? Then you have your B-level players who have the potential to become an A-level player, but for whatever reason, their performance, it lingers, or sometimes they have A days, sometimes they have B days, but they have the potential to become that A-level player. The challenge with leadership is that how do we not only retain them, but how do we help them grow in their career? And then you have your C-level players who can sense that the heat is being turned up, but they don't have the wherewithal to jump out of the frying pan. So then how do we begin to either coach them up or coach them out, inviting them to find their happiness elsewhere? Now we understand that we can't get rid of the C players because obviously they do get things done. How they go about getting things done might not be to the best of the organization, but how do we ensure that we are moving them from a C level to a B level in their performance? But here's one of the things that a CEO pointed out to me. Sometimes you can have an A level player or a B level player with great potential, but they're working for a D level leader. So how do we begin to understand that where the rubber meets the road is people don't leave organizations, they leave dumb managers and horrible bosses who don't get it. So how do we begin to root out those horrible bosses who have an agenda instead of being a leader with a vision?
Wow. You know something?
Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm telling these folks out there now, I'm hoping that they've rushed to the website and they've already registered to get to that conference. Daphne, by the way, how can folks register for the conference? Because if they miss Simon at that conference, then they've missed a lot.
Yes, yeah. You can visit visionweekendconference.com, www.visionweekendconference.com, and you can register right there for the Vision Weekend Conference. Once you register, just keep clicking. It will take you to the final page where you can secure your code for your hotel reservation at the discounted rate. I like what Simon just said, because I don't know if either of you gentlemen saw a YouTube clip out with the CEO of one of the one of the burger businesses, and he went under the disguise as an employee, and the manager was really in his hype of how he was treating people. And then when he took the new employee outside, he got a rude awakening, because the new employee was the CEO of the company, and he was asking him all these questions. And the man pretended for a while, and then the man said to him, you know, I got to be honest to you. I have been in the fast food business for 20 years. I've studied entrepreneurship and business for 20 years. As a matter of fact, I am the CEO for this company, and I'm shutting down the restaurant. I saw the man's face just twisted the opposite direction. So, you know, there are a lot of bosses out there who don't really know how to do this, and we can't sit there and be suffering. So we got to know when it's time to just know when the season is over, and be bold enough to believe in who you are and to whose you belong, and know that you can accomplish all things by trusting him. Simon, I want to thank you. I'm looking forward to working with you on March the 23rd through the 26th. I am so excited to be part of the Brilliant Club and each and every day to get the information that has been helping me to release my brilliance.
Awesome. Thank you. Look forward to joining you both.
Absolutely. Okay, folks, on that note, we're counting down. Daphne, do you want to take us out?
Yes, sir.
There's the peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
For my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees, I'll rise. I will rise.
There's a day that's drawing near.
When this darkness breaks through life, and the shadows disappear, and something shall be your guide. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will arise. Calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise. He goes with before my God, fall on my knees, I'll rise, I will rise. Even though the enemy may come to me, worthy is the Lamb.